Tonight, Las Vegas legend Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy is mauled by one of his own white tigers in the middle of a show. Hundreds of people watch in horror. Roy is in critical condition. He fights for his life tonight. The white tiger's in quarantine. What went wrong? We'll talk with two men who were front row witnesses to the tiger's attack. Also joining us, Wayne Newton, Mr. Las Vegas, a longtime friend of Siegfried and Roy. In Las Vegas, magician Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller.
All right, hold on a second.
I think it's
Larry King.
Larry King. Yeah.
Well, finally, some entertainment on this program. Who's Larry King talking to? I don't hear him anymore. Here's my point. We did this show for 6 years, and Drew picks the calls. Here's how it works. We have a screen. We have a monitor, computer monitor in front of us, 1 through 6. And each one has about 3 lines. It says the person's age, says their sex, and says their name. And then it has a little blurb, like doesn't like sex, or vagina is on fire. I don't normally look at that because I'm not a big reader. I'm not sure if you know that about me, Drew.
It's shocking, though.
Drew is a reader.
Yes.
Drew reads the screen. Drew reads ahead, picks the call. And for about 8 years, he drew on a squeaky Marks-a-Lot board. He'd write 7, and you could hear it squeak.
Right.
And if you listen to the show enough, you could probably figure out what number he was writing by the way it squeaked, like when someone writes a letter on your back and you try to figure it out. Haven't done that in a while, by the way. I got to get back into that.
We'll do it during the commercial break.
Thank you. So, anyway, Drew, no, Dr. Bruce, I think, pioneered the post-it note,
yes,
which is... why you got to get a little fresh blood in the studio every once in a while.
I went from the Marks-a-Lot, the dry erase board to a piece of paper.
Piece of paper he would write the number, wouldn't squeak. But then Bruce came in here in his ultimate retardism. But sometimes it takes a guy who thinks a little outside of the box. And Dr. Bruce is a free thinker. He started taking one of those little post-it sticker notes and sticking it next to the call he wanted on the screen. And since then,
that stuck.
Yeah, it's a rage has swept the land. So that's what Drew does now. Although we always seem to be a little bit short on post-it notes here,
right?
Because, those things aren't free.
That's the one.
Well, essentially they're free, yes. But there's no post-it note fairy that drops them off in the studio.
Although we had boxes of them. That was the one advantage to being at Westwood One.
We had post-its. All right. So let's get started. Oh, okay. So let me tell you what's going on tonight. Either Jimmy Kimmel or Bobcat Goldthwait is going to come in here tonight. Now, Jimmy, of course, is doing his show, which should be ending about now. Mm-hmm. And Bobcat is guest hosting on his show all week.
I predict they'll both show up.
They could either both show up or Bobcat or Jimmy. I don't know. Jimmy's pretty tired. I mean, Jimmy works pretty hard. But they might both come in anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. So anyway, both of them or one of them is coming in here in probably the next 25 minutes. It's going to take them a while to get their makeup off and get across town over here. They're promoting a show that I produced with Jimmy and a few other guys called Windy City Heat, which is coming out this Sunday on Comedy Central that I don't like to brag, but I didn't have that much to do with this, and it's great. And that may be part of the reason it's great. I showed it to my dad. My dad was blown away.
Really?
And you know my dad, not a big Corolla fan.
Nor a big, not one to show lofty emotions.
No.
Positive emotions.
No, he's lukewarm on me at best, comedically.
Yeah.
I was guest hosting all week on Kimmel. This is his son on network television every night, all week. And at the end of the week on Friday, we went out to lunch. And it was about 2:10 in the afternoon, and I said, tonight's my last night of guest hosting. Have you caught any of the shows? No, not seen the show. Have you ever seen Kimmel's show? No, I have not. So it's been on about 5 months now, Dad. Yeah, it's on late. You get the stepmom to work the VCR for you. Yeah.
Guess I could.
Then he says, what time do you guys tape? About 2:00? I said, Dad, it's 2:08 right now. I'm wearing cutoffs, and we're sitting at a TGI Fridays.
And it's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
And I'm the co-host. Yes, we're taping now. Can't you see the lights, the camera, the makeup? Hold on. Your head's blocking my cue cards. I can't figure out what the response to that question was, Dad. No, you imbecile. It's Jimmy Kimmel Live. Yeah. Anyway, So suffice it to say, Dad, not a huge fan.
Yes.
Nothing against my work.
Oh, well.
we don't know what goes on in the dark recesses of his mind. He does not openly try to sabotage my career.
Right.
He just...
ain't interested.
You and I have done several thousand shows together. You met him you met him 2 weeks ago for the first time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And put it this way. When I said to him one time, my partner Drew and I, this and that, he thought it was a construction buddy of my friend Ray,
wow,
who's named Drew.
Wow.
He thought that's the Drew I was talking about. So evidently maybe not a big fan of yours either.
Yeah, well,
but I would just say that's because you and I are partners. That has nothing to do with you. That's like when I get a bad review, they'll beat up on you a little bit too just because of the association.
That's right.
My dad, I showed my dad this movie, and I don't even know why. It was like it was in my car when I was going out to lunch. I said, take this, watch it, tell me what you think. Blown away.
Really?
Said he laughed out loud 30 or 40 times. Hysterical. Hysterical.
Slip on it,
yeah. It is hysterical. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, and basically the movie, well, I'll wait till those guys come in and we'll promote it.
Okay.
I won't tell you all about it, but you will have out loud laughs at least 25 times during the course of this
show.
Wow. Linda?
Yes. Yes.
Out loud laughter. Just like Linda.
Linda?
Yes.
Well, I hear her. We barely hear her. Anderson, there's something wrong.
I think
you need
think
me to be louder.
There you go. There you
go. Is that good?
Yeah.
That's great.
Good.
What's
okay.
up?
What's going on?
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
We always listen to your show, and I have a problem with getting started with having sex. I'm 25. Mm-hmm. I've been married 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really always been a problem. I think it happened really after we had children.
The first mm-hmm. one, or how many?
I'm sorry?
Immediately after the first child?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, and what's the problem?
I just can't seem to. I just don't want to. I just don't want to have sex.
So you have a history of you used to be interested in sex. You used to be interested with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
But seemingly, since having had children, you just ain't interested.
Right.
Are you stressed out? Are you mad at your husband?
I don't think so. Now, I do suffer from depression. I take Zoloft daily.
Okay. Well, there you go. Zoloft will shut you down completely.
Guys get depressed, they beat off 14 times a day. Girls get depressed, they shut down
Unless
completely.
Unless you put them on Zoloft or Prozac, that can shut you down pretty good. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But Linda, that's the problem. That is the issue. There are antidepressants you can take that will not shut you down that way. You can talk to your doctor about that.
Now, my doctor always, every time I go in for my checkup, he'll always ask me if I'm still able to reach orgasm. Mm.
Well, yeah, but you forgot to tell him that you're not interested in sex.
And see, I've told him that, and he's told me it's just a mental thing. You'll get over it.
No, it is a very serious problem.
Well, maybe he's just telling her that to give her a little placebo.
Now, unfortunately, these drugs can ruin relationships. I actually wrote a book about this.
You did?
Yeah. It's called Restoring Intimacy.
I never heard of that one.
It's called Restoring Intimacy.
I never even saw that one.
Just a little pamphlet that me and some other doctors put together.
That's a jack rag. I use it for a bib.
Yeah, you could. But it's about how important it is that you maintain your relationships and how part of a full remission from depression is maintaining intimacy. And some of these medicines, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, can really interfere with that. So Cerazone, Remeron, maybe Geodon, and certainly Wellbutrin don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to talk to your doctor about an antidepressant that doesn't have that side effect because it's a serious issue.
All right. Let's keep a rocking.
Yeah.
You know, anything, I never plug crank anchors on this show.
Yeah.
It seems like I do, but I don't because the show runs Tuesday nights.
You do always after it's run.
Yeah, that's what reminds me to plug it.
Right.
But crank anchors, funny show. 10:00.
You know why you thought to think of it tonight?
Comedy Central Tuesday nights.
We're plugging
something else. Yeah, I'm in plug mode. Yeah. I don't plug my own crap enough, Pedro.
Yeah, what's up?
Speaking of crap, mm-hmm. I left a big Duke in the toilet because I did that stupid thing where I was talking on the phone and didn't want to flush, and my wife found it. Yeah.
And probably just as she arrived back from New York, too.
Yeah.
That must have been quite a romantic moment.
Yeah. She got me a hat from Little Italy. I left her big load of flop in the commode. I think it was an even trade.
I think this marriage is going quite well for you guys.
Pedro?
She was away in New York on your anniversary, and you leave her a big load of turd to welcome her home.
You're 18. What's up?
First of all, Adam, you are the man. You are the God, and I do love you. Dr. Drew, if there were ever a gentleman I'd want to reach into my backside with a rubber glove, it would be you. I love both of y'all. You're awesome.
Thank you, Pedro.
Yeah, you're
quite trying to take that, but okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Now, I heard Drew say something very interesting the other day, and it reminded me of something that had been going on with my girlfriend. She'd hinted, you know, very casually over the last few months on the subject of a threesome with another girl, and Drew had said that the only way that would happen is if, you know, there was some sort of weird issue going on. And I was wondering, you know, if you could maybe shed some light on that statement.
And how did she hint, by the way?
Let's see. I think we were joking about a prostitute, and she mentioned, you know, maybe we should go pick one up. And it kind of sprung from there little by little. So the
hint was you saying you'd like to bring a prostitute into the bedroom with the two of you.
No.
And then her saying, well, maybe I'd rather be a friend.
No, not quite that. It was more like, you know, hey, maybe her saying maybe we should pick one up and, you know, have a little fun. I kind of joked.
All right, so you think she might be up for this?
Kind of, sort of, yeah, I'm thinking that.
Yeah.
And,
how long have you been dating her?
I've known her forever, but since January, December.
Are you serious about the relationship?
Absolutely.
You thinking about marriage or something like that?
Absolutely.
Don't get her pregnant for a while.
And don't have the threesome. The threesome.
But what about it, Drew?
It sounds like something that's not specifically related to a bunch of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when somebody's demanding a threesome, it's a very chaotic relationship, and or someone with a history of chaos that's seeking to sabotage the relationship. This is not that. This is someone that sounds like an 18-year-old screwing around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like experimenting kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, that's fine, except this relationship will not survive that. You're not resilient enough. You're 18. Forget it. No way. But that's
true.
What you want to do. Fine.
Remember before you lost your will to live and you're a little bit younger? Can you remember back that far?
Yeah.
And you have those conversations that – think about all the conversations that women have that they think is completely spontaneous, where the guy's crafted this thing in the lab. He's going down a pre-charted path.
Oh, yeah.
You know what it's like? You know what the conversation's like? You ever go to that, remember your kid, you go to Disneyland, you go to that Autotopia thing?
Yeah, exactly.
It's got a steering wheel that's just hooked up to
a
rivet.
Bar,
it just spins around.
Yeah.
You think you're steering the car. You're 6 and a half. You think you're actually navigating the car through Disneyland. Mm-hmm. You ain't going anywhere. You take both hands off the steering wheel
and
turn your back to it, would still end up in the same place.
That's right.
That's what women are like in conversations with guys. When guys start gambling. No, it's not how the guys are like. It's what the women are like. They don't know where it's going. The guys are steering it. Guys are, you know, they'll do that like, all right, let's see, stakes for a game of backgammon.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I don't know how to
Losers
do this.
Got to jump in the pool naked or something like that. You know, or they'll do the massage thing.
Yes.
How about you want a massage? I'm great with the massage. I can't get around this bra. I just can't work around the bra. That's when guys start offering massages.
Yes.
Guys start making bets.
Yes.
Guys start spontaneously bringing up stuff like strip clubs and threesomes.
Yes.
You'd never let anyone film you doing a lesbian act with your sister, would you? I mean, you wouldn't let them videotape. That'd be crazy, right? Right? Yeah. Oh, no, I know. I think it's crazy, too, right? It is. Okay, so it is. Okay, but, okay, let's see. Backgammon. Let's see who's going in the pool.
Then you go, yeah, your sister, but I bet one of your friends.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, yeah. Just everything. Everything's one big sexual thing. Chicken fights in the pool. Get on my shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that stuff?
Are you kidding?
Drew knows.
Guys are diabolical.
Drew is a man of exquisite passion who's been underneath more than his fair share of chickens during the chicken fight. And by the way, during the chicken fight, everyone's a winner. You think there's losers and winners? Everyone's a winner. You have a wet vagina on the back of your neck for as long as you can hold him up. You know, she's in a bikini. Tops are coming off. That chicken fight's a good thing.
And somehow,
I gotta get into one of those.
The guy feels bonded to that girl. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Hey, like we're a team, baby.
We're a team. Yeah, that's right.
We're a team. You're holding on to her thigh.
Yeah, but
she's
but,
pinching. Her coos is in the back of your head.
But
she's
the whole time,
pinching your cheeks with her thigh.
You're plotting.
You got a boner. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's scratching at her
She's
friend.
Scratching.
Yeah, you're plotting.
Oh, yeah. We gotta get him back. Yeah, this time, go for the top. You go for the top. I'll be down below beating off. Go.
Oh, right. My God.
Yeah. Remember that chicken fight, Drew? Oh, I miss those chicken fights. Samantha?
Yeah?
You're 21?
They're universal, too.
Yeah.
That?
Once in a while, you get caught with the hefty chick who wants to mount up, though, and that's tough. You're feeling the razor stubble on your neck. Oh, she's 172 pounds.
Oh, man.
Samantha?
Yeah.
You're 21. What's up?
Is this...
When was your last chicken fight?
My chicken fight?
Yeah.
That's what, girl about. Fighting or something?
Like what fighting?
Yeah, like when you take your tobacco out of your mouth and blind her temporarily, then go upside her head with a cider jug and then strangle her with your rope belt.
Well, speaking about blinding, something Samantha wanted to ask about. Go ahead, Samantha.
Well, see, I didn't know which question to ask or whatever, but...
All right, baby, what's up?
Well, I had a brain injury, and I've heard you know, say something... sorry, I'm getting too...
That's all right.
Relax.
Now I feel bad.
Stuff like... about being impulsive and stuff.
Yeah.
And
what was the nature of your...
They did say in the hospital, like when I was doing memory things, and, well, I just didn't want to look stupid because I've always had a bad self-esteem and stuff. But I just went ahead and blurted out answer, but, you know, I can't control it sometimes. And
What was the nature of your injury? What happened?
What?
What was the nature of your injury? What happened?
A gunshot to myself. I shot myself. Mm.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and yes, I know you're going to say never have children and never all that stuff, but that just makes me more depressed.
Oh, baby, no, I wasn't going to tell you that.
No, but you tell everybody.
But I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everyone else. I want you to have a whole brood.
No, well, not me, because I know that with everything I've done and me being blind, well, my family doctor said blind people shouldn't have children, but then I talked to my... shrink or no, the person that supplies medicine, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied.
Psychiatrist, yeah.
Just had it so hard getting through.
Oh, baby doll, listen now.
Sorry.
Well, hold on a second. I don't know. We're going to make you feel better.
I know.
Yeah? All right, well, listen. Hold on a second. When did you try to commit suicide?
It was in 99.
99.
So 4 years ago.
So it's been some time.
Yeah, my doctor... the medicine, whatever he...
Okay, hold on. You were 17.
Yeah.
You were 17, right?
Yeah.
And you put a gun to your head?
Uh-huh.
To your temple?
Well, I guess it's like, I don't know, the markers, whatever, like behind my ear. I didn't remember.
Put it behind your ear. Squeeze trigger. Bullet went into your head.
Nerve is or something?
She hit the optic nerve.
And hit the optic
the
nerve.
Put back.
Okay.
Okay, but you see...
But it
I
didn't kill you.
Information on my...
Well, hold on.
From, like, the hospital or something. But
we're interested in this.
Okay,
it didn't kill you. Hold on a second. Listen, sweetie, it's okay.
Yeah, well, I know how hard it is to get through.
Nah, it's all right. We'll talk to you forever.
Okay.
All right, Jimmy and Bobcat will talk to you.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to get so emotional, but that's a problem.
That's all right. That's okay. So you shot yourself, and what happened? Somebody found you?
We'll see. Yeah, I guess who'd they say found me? I did it in my brother's room, I guess, and my dad's the one because my mom heard a snap or something. She thought it was electricity at first, but she didn't want to go look because she was afraid or something.
Let me ask you something about gunshots.
Yeah.
Every time I just heard the whole report where when Phil Hartman got shot, neighbor heard three sounds, thought it sounds like plywood falling or something like that. Mm-hmm. How come everything but a gunshot sounds like a gunshot?
Right.
But because you always think of backfire. Oh, that's a gunshot. Or lightning, thunder. That's a gunshot. But then when you actually hear the goddamn gunshot, it doesn't sound like a gunshot. You think it's something else.
Yeah, I guess it depends on... Sorry if I'm interrupting.
That was thunder.
Though.
What's that?
It depends on where you shoot yourself, probably.
Also, no one's ever heard a gunshot in the movies and things.
Just that she's from Missouri. Wakes up to gunshot alarm.
But the stuff
morning.
We see in the movie is all
For a while, I used to.
That's true. Okay, so you shot yourself.
I went to the blind school and I freaked out there.
Oh, you went to the blind school. All right, well, hold on. We got plenty to talk about.
We got a bunch of issues I can go on about.
We got a lot of issues.
Have you had a relationship since you've been blind?
You don't want to go there, too, huh?
Well, yes or no?
Well, wait a minute.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah,
it's not good, but I'm trying to get the story here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They rush you to the hospital.
Yeah.
They do emergency surgery on you.
Nope, no surgery. The bullet's still in there.
Bullet's still in there.
Yeah,
it wasn't stable.
They do
enough.
That sometimes.
They gave me a 1% chance of living.
I always think that's lazy with the doctors when they do that.
No.
It'll do. No, it's the way you like it. It's good. Yeah, it can stay for a while.
Okay. Well, I wish I had. Do you have tapes you can send of, like, stuff I missed on the show or something?
You mean while you were in the hospital?
Well,
no.
Like this.
This is just me making jack-off jokes and through boring people with talk of OxyContin.
No, I'm not talking about that. But I mean, well, I didn't find Loveline until, I don't know what year it was, but I've been listening to it ever since.
It's been your savior. Now, hold on a second. So they did not...
I don't even turn my radio off. I get mad when somebody turns my radio off. But I've finally gotten brave enough to change to preset station every once in a while when Loveline's not on. But
so now they didn't perform brain surgery on you.
Right. They told Mom that if I did live, I would be a vegetable.
They left the bullet in.
Uh-huh.
And now hold on a second. We got to take a break, but we're not done.
Okay.
Not by a long shot.
Calm down, man.
Sorry for the long shot term there, but just hang on. Not by a bunch. Hang on a second. Drew, I was just talking to someone about this and the other day, actually yesterday, with that thing where the doctors make the proclamation, "You'll never walk again," or "You'll be dead within 6 months." That was 11 years ago, and I'm still here, cancer free. The doctors really say you have a 1% chance of living? Why make that proclamation? I understand you have to say, hey, it's grave. It's a bad situation in there.
I have more trouble with doctors being honest with people when things are grave. That's what I see more of. It's difficult to be honest with family.
Well, this is too... They are being honest. They're being too honest.
That's the point. I see less of that.
Oh, you see less?
In other words, every call we have is somebody was told to never walk again. What I see is people always being... Doctors being very positive.
This is my point. I don't think this goes on in real life.
Not very often. And what they might have heard, you know, ideally, really, you would prepare somebody. You'd say... You know, this is a very, this really could be, this is bad news.
But you'd never say 1% chance of living, would you?
No.
Like, listen, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, and let me illustrate 1%. Picture a giant wheel with 100 lines on it, okay? Like a huge pie. All right. Like, have you been to Vegas? Have you spun the roulette? That has 32 slots. This has more than three times as much. Now, picture only one of those slots being life for your young daughter. All right. Now, picture spinning that.
The ball's bouncing around.
Let me ask you one more quick thing. And we got to go to break.
Yeah.
Bobcat should be here and or Jimmy Kimmel should be here to promote Windy City Heat. We got to talk to Samantha more. Shot by her own hand. Yeah. Tried to commit suicide at 17. Bullet still lodged in her brain.
Mm-hmm.
And
blind now.
I'd be using that, though, if I was her. Like when I got
I'm
on
sure
a scale and
mm-hmm.
someone was like, "Ooh, 168 pounds. I got a bullet in my head." Like, it's like I'd use it like when you go, "I just ate," or "I got my shoes. I'm still, you know, I got my shoes and a belt on."
Right.
Hey, bullet. Lead in the head. Come on. But, Drew, let me ask you one more quick question. We go to break.
Yeah.
I was laughing about this with someone. Remember when people died in Westerns or in 70s and 80s movies, they would close their eyes. They would have the thing where the guy did that thing.
Yes.
They'd look at their... somehow you died with your eyes open. And I don't know how often you die with your eyes open. Are your eyes just where they are when you die? I mean, your lids are open, but aren't you wincing? Your eyes are open.
Yeah.
And then the priest does this. He just does the hand, but he doesn't make contact with the eyelids. He just does that hand where it goes over the face, and the eyes are closed when he moves his hand by.
Magically.
Is it hard to close eyes?
Yes.
It is. You got to work a little bit.
They don't stay closed.
They don't. They pop back open again. Have you ever done that?
Oh yeah, plenty.
Yeah, dude, you got to close those eyes.
Yeah, they don't.
So they got to put if you in the funeral home, they got to put a stitch in them, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So if you did that thing where you just did that, he's gone.
Nothing.
And you did that hand swipe right over the face.
Zero.
They wouldn't do it, or maybe just one would be closed and it would be open.
That's right.
All right, well, good times, good times. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll get back.
Morbid line after this.
Yeah, after. After this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ben Stein in here tomorrow night. Marilyn Manson in here Wednesday night. And the luscious Sarah Silverman in here Thursday night promoting School of Rock, which I just hear great raves about.
Yeah.
Tonight, either Bobcat Goldthwait, Jimmy Kimmel, or perhaps both of them will be in here. You're predicting both.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be in here. I don't have any thoughts about it. I know Jimmy loves doing this kind of crap. I also know the guys run ragged doing his show, and they're just finishing Jimmy's show because Bobcat is guest hosting all week long on Jimmy's show. So we'll see. But they're promoting Windy City Heat, which is a show me and Jimmy executive produced along with Daniel and some other guys, and I really didn't do anything on it, and that's why it's so funny. It really is the funniest thing I've ever been involved with. And if you don't believe me, ask my dad. Lukewarm on his son's material, but loves this. Loves it. Raves. All right. Let's get back to...
Self-inflicted gunshot wound, blind.
Samantha?
Yeah?
Okay. So, you're blinded by an attempted suicide. The bullet's still in your head. You've been blind since you're 17. You're 21 now.
Yeah. Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
You're going to have Marilyn Manson in sometime?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, my gosh, I should have called in, but my mom hates him, but she burnt my Marilyn Manson CDs and everything, and she totally hates him. I should have tried to call in or something, but I just wanted to get through so bad.
You know, when your kid's blind, you don't have to actually go through and burn the stuff. You can't just set it on the shelf just out of the reach and say you burned it.
Oh, they burned it before I was blind, though.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
then you got to burn it.
No, wait. They did get rid of it when I was in the hospital or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
See? Okay. I told you. So it's probably still around. It's probably just...
Oh, and my Beck CD, too.
Probably just sitting in the refrigerator somewhere you wouldn't look for.
I finally made her download them for me because I was going to go buy them again.
All right.
Okay, baby doll.
You said
let's focus on the bigger picture here.
Like me downloading it free, but I done bought it once, so I think I earned it.
You said you've had some pretty bad relationships since this all happened.
What? Oh, we're going to there or something?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, see, I just broke up with this one guy. I went ahead and my mom said, you know, she didn't really call it a relationship, and I don't even know if we were supposed to be going out, but I took it as we were going out.
Why was your mom sort of making that kind of judgment?
Well, she liked him. It was actually, you know, my brother's friend or whatever,
Yeah. Hey, Samantha.
Yeah.
Let me ask a few questions.
Well, I don't know what time you go. I mean, said 12 o'clock, and it was over, and so I started breaking down crying here and stuff. I was like, because I fought hard to try to get here.
Hold on, baby doll. Calm down. You're living at home, right?
Yeah, we're trying to get assisted living, so I'll be able to call when I want to and stuff. Like, if I want to call offline.
Aw, that's nice. Tell that to the person you're trying to get the assisted living money from.
Well, my mom don't like everything they talk about on the line, though, so...
Yeah, your mom's got a lot of hold on.
Well, she's listening, too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, God.
Mom passing a lot of judgment for someone whose kid tried to put a bullet in her head. You know what I'm saying? A lot of judgment. I'm just saying, when your kid tries to snuff himself, maybe stop judging so much. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Samantha? Virgo or whatever she is, her sign.
Oh, she's a Virgo. Well, that explains a lot.
Well, she looked it up and she said it's like a perfectionist thing, and she's always she's trying to be the best mother she can. But
sure. Yeah. My mom was the same thing. If you call locking yourself in the room, smoking weed, and yelling, freak out.
I might have technically been still high when I shot myself.
Oh, okay. All right, so listen, Samantha, let's work on you...
I could work on stuff forever.
That's what life is. Whether you're blind or living at home or not, it doesn't matter. It's just one big job.
Had to go back after this thing. I got well enough. I went back to therapy for I don't know if it was 6 years or maybe it's 6 years total with all the times I've been to therapy or something.
That's good.
All right. Let me give everyone a quick pep talk here. Drew, please stop me if I'm wrong.
All right.
Life is a lot of work for everybody. It's a challenge for everybody. Some people...
Some more than others.
Yeah, but some people sort of enjoy that challenge. It's sort of like exercise. Yeah. Exercise is tiresome and painful. You can get injured. It's difficult for everybody, but some people enjoy that challenge, that rush. They like achieving this thing. Mm-hmm. But it's not as if it feels good to them. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think...
You run, you take care of yourself, you lift weights, you work hard... It doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel like you're getting a massage.
Right.
You like the feeling you get after it.
Right.
And that's the way life is. People that achieve a lot don't just enjoy working. They get something from it. And so everybody should know that there's a lot of work involved with life.
Yeah.
And they should, because they're alive and because there's someone like Samantha who's going to be here for another 65 years, should start focusing on enjoying that process instead of fighting it.
Yes.
Don't fight that
instead
process.
Of saying it never ends. It never ends. That's right.
Go.
Yeah, go with it.
Enjoy it. Jump into it. I'm not saying you have to be happy about everything, but just treat it like a process. Yeah. And I don't know. Samantha's got to stick with her therapy. Samantha's got a lot of stuff to do.
It sounds like she needs some medication, too.
And possibly some medication.
Because you know, she's had a biological injury, and it sounds like she now can't contain impulses, and her moods are very labile. And,
all right.
And you can fight that with biology.
They do a lot of leaving the bullets in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah.
I know this doctor's doing a lot of, if that bullet was just a couple of millimeters to the right,
oh, yeah,
you'd be paralyzed.
Yeah.
And do that. But they don't do it the other way, where they go, yeah, you're in a wheelchair, you're a quad now, just a couple of centimeters to the left, you'd be fine, you'd be doing jumping jacks right now. Too bad.
Nice.
And they never do that.
No. That would be when you lay on somebody.
Chris?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 25?
Yeah.
You read Dr. Drew's book?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Fantastic.
Glad you called.
All right, but now, thank you, buddy.
Hold on just one second here.
Oh, okay.
The reason why I called was because, one, you wrote a book, and I listened to your show a lot. By the way, Adam, love your sarcasm. A bit extreme.
Thanks.
But it's awesome.
See that?
You know? And, Drew, I was just wondering something, man, you know? Right now I'm trying to write a book, and 10 months through it, and... And I'm getting kind of worn out, you know, to the point where I'm just about to send it to somebody and see what they think.
Well, here's what you need to do. Let me just butt in. If you want to write a book, it's important to get a lot of books of people you admire and not read them and then write your own goddamn book. Right, Drew?
And that's what
Is that how you do it? Is that how you did it?
Of course.
All right. So why haven't you read Drew's book?
Why? Because I'm a fiction writer. That's the way I am. But
did you buy Drew's book?
Not yet, but
my book is
actually alone. I just went through.
I just love the screen. It says true, and this is what you get, by the way, for picking these callers, thinking you're going to get a fluff job going here, inspired by your book.
Yeah.
Inspired. Like, hey, if that jackoff can write a book, I can write one too.
Exactly.
That's the kind of inspiration Chris is talking about.
The fact is, though, my book is like a fictionalized novel. It's a fictionalized nonfiction, basically, and it's a novel format. So it's what you're writing.
All right, Drew, how would you write a book if you were talking to somebody who'd never written a book before and they wanted to write a book? Oh, come on, buddy. It's not that tough.
You'd have to self-publish.
Chris?
Yeah,
because they only write books that they know are going to have a certain amount of sales.
I self-published like 26 times while my wife was in New York.
Did you?
Yeah. Two times.
The porn. Self-published
the
porn.
Chris?
Yeah, what's up?
What's your book about?
I'll tell you this much. It's two for...
All right. I don't like anyone who starts with tell you this much. Like I'm on pins and needles over here. Drew, what should... I hate Chris, by the way. I hate guys like Chris.
Yeah, he's
I don't know if
like
you
him.
Hate guys like Chris, but I hate guys like Chris.
Okay.
Tell you this much, buddy. Let me tell you that guy. I didn't read the book, but I can tell you this. I'm writing my own book, okay? And I can't tell you what it's about.
I'll tell you this.
Here's what I found out in being in this business for 10 years. The more somebody can't tell you what their project's about,
the less you want to know.
The less you want to know.
Yeah.
And the less impressed you'd be. The reason they can't tell you about it is because it's a piece of ass, not because... You're going to take their crappy idea and run with it. But anyway, what would you do, Drew? Well, write a manuscript? Write a treatment?
Get a book agent?
Get a book agent.
You
can't get a book agent.
That's what you'd first do. Then
how about writing a treatment?
Then you write a treatment.
How about starting with some short stories and things like that, trying to get published?
But neither of us really know how to do fiction. You know, I don't know how that's done.
How dare you? I do nothing but fiction. You didn't know that? I wrote... You know, I'm always writing those. I wrote that Buck Rogers spec script in the 80s. Remember that?
No. Oh, for the Animaniacs?
No. Rachel? Yes, I write animation. Rachel, you're 21.
Hi.
What's up?
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was calling in to get some input on something that's been bothering me for a really long time. In fact, I've been trying to... call Loveline for the past 4 years, I think.
Whatever.
Just to address this.
You've been trying for 4 years.
Well, not exactly trying, but I mean, I remember the first time I tried calling. It was like 4 years ago, and it was for the very same Well, a similar thing, but anyway, I better get to it.
That's right.
I have had a problem on my mind.
Today, Junior?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hold on. Is it this phone? Is everything confusing to people who call this show? Like, if you talk to them...
They're thrown. You cannot speak.
Yeah, we'll do a typical Loveline reenactment.
Okay.
Okay, you be you.
Okay.
All you got to do is ask a question.
Okay.
I've been with my boyfriend for some time. We've been getting along fairly well. He's about my age.
How long have you been dating?
Okay, Drew, so I got to take How you 10 minutes to jump
Let
in.
Let me see where you're going.
Jesus, F. Let's try that again.
Go ahead.
I've been with my boyfriend for some time. We're somewhere around the same age.
How old is he?
Pardon me?
How old is he?
Hello? I'm scared to talk when our callers call this show.
I know.
What did you say? Now there's a weird back and forth that goes on for a second. Hello?
It takes them 5 minutes to restart.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. How old is he? I've been with my boyfriend for some time. No, so now you got to go back to the beginning because you screwed up?
Oh, my God.
All right. It's like beating off to a DVD. Let me tell you why.
Why?
Because the DVDs, the remote for the DVD,
yeah,
is about the size of a hot dog bun with 750 microscopic buttons on it that all do different things.
Okay.
And the fast forward and the rewind and the skip, it's all the same button. It's about an eighth of an inch apart.
Right.
It's dark and your thumb got that big greasy Noxzema thumb and you have
busy.
A couple beers in you and your pants around your ankles. And you hit, and all of a sudden, right when you think you're getting good, you hit it and it's like start at the beginning. The screen goes blue. There's big title thing that says Operation Discontinue or something. You're like, no. I'll never get that one back. Yeah, I got to work that out, Drew, because that is a goddamn disaster when that happens, and I'm looking to sue at that point.
I would think
if I had just a little more pride or a little less pride, I would sue some. I haven't figured it out, but there would be a lawsuit because all the buttons the same, and if you really you just once at 16th of an inch, you hit the wrong one, the thing stops and goes to the beginning. You can't get back to where you were.
Going through scenes.
You're in the middle of scene 28, and it goes right back to the first one. All right. Who are we talking about?
I don't know.
Rachel. She's got a masturbation problem.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna talk to her. And Bobcat and Jimmy. Rachel.
Yes.
All right, hold on a second. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, see, she's got a little cadence thing, too, on top of the usual love line problem.
Is your radio turned down?
Yes, my radio is turned down.
Okay. Oh. We will be getting back to you very soon.
Oh, okay.
We have to take a short break.
Okay.
Okay. If those terms are acceptable, then you stay put. We will take a quick break. Bobcat Goldthwaite, possibly Jimmy Kimmel, will come into the studio and speak to us about Windy City Heat. Their latest project and my latest project, Sunday, October 12th, Comedy Central, 9 o'clock. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam, and that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ben Stein in here tomorrow night. Marilyn Manson on Wednesday night. Sarah Silverman from School of Rock, which I hear is fantastic. Thursday night, Jimmy called. Jimmy is on his way. He is en route. And Bobcat is en route home.
Possibly.
We're not sure. Anderson got a call from Jimmy. Jimmy's probably on his way to the old studio.
Oof.
All right. Windy City Heat is the name of the project. Sunday night, October 12th on Comedy Central, 9 o'clock. Adam Carolla's father calls it the finest work he barely was in. Huge fan.
He's had anything to do with.
My dad laughed his ass off.
That's amazing.
And I laughed my ass off. Solid. I'm not kidding either. You guys watch it Sunday night, then call us, tell us what you think. Hysterical. Rachel?
Hello.
You're 21?
Yes.
Okay, so you started masturbating at age 7.
Yes, and I wanted to know if that... was anything of an oddity?
A little bit.
A little bit. And as usual with human beings, things don't exist in a vacuum, so to speak. Things suggest other things. And
I thought I heard a smoke detector, Drew.
I thought I heard her like moving some dishes around or something.
I thought I heard both. Rachel?
Yes.
Are you in the same room you were just in?
Yes, I am.
Don't move.
Is there a smoke detector in that room?
No.
No, there is not.
No, but I have a lot of smoke detectors in my home.
You do. Is the battery low in one of them?
Probably not. I think my mom just changed the batteries.
Okay.
We'll be the judge of that.
Let's keep talking.
Masturbating at 7 can be something that doesn't mean anything, but oftentimes it does. And given particularly your sort of cadence and how you make us feel, Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say something probably was going on that was causing you to kind of self-stimulate that way. Chaos, or I thought I just heard something too.
I can't really hear you that well.
Yeah. We're going nuts because we think we hear a smoke detector chirping in the background.
I don't.
You don't hear it.
I don't hear it.
Okay. We'll take your word for it. Although, whenever we do hear it, the person on the other line says they don't hear it, and then we hear it later.
Don't know what we're talking about.
But Rachel, were you ever abused in any way? Any trauma?
When I was molested when I was like 4 years old.
There you go. That's something.
That's what I'm talking about.
Who did that to you?
It was a distant friend of my parent that I was with.
Okay.
So it happened when I was really young.
Have you ever gotten any therapy?
I'm in therapy right now, but I haven't been able to tell my doctor about this because it's really difficult for me, and so I thought that it would be easier if I were to do this, like, anonymously, kind of.
Yeah.
All right. It's a very important part of your therapy. You must talk about it. Unless you're able to be trusting and open with your therapist, you're not really going to get anywhere.
I find in my therapy, when something is difficult for me to share with my therapist, I do it in song.
If you'd been abused, how would you do it?
Bring an acoustic guitar in there. Uh-huh. Oftentimes, I'll use a guy, be accompanied by somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Actually, use the guy from Andy Dick's band.
I was just thinking about him, yeah.
Plays a good...
Then if you're mad at me, he'll punch him, he takes it.
And every song just starts like a Gordon Lightfoot song, but eventually goes into molestation.
And who knows what goes on in the old vagina, the old vagina, the old vagina.
Your son is gay.
But be as me, Rachel, we knew that something was up with you just the way the cadence.
Speak to the shrink, please.
Yeah, you've got to really work on this stuff. Yes, the masturbation is something the kids do when they have been abused. Absolutely.
Dan?
Yeah?
You're 22?
That's right.
You use LSD and mushrooms?
Mostly just mushrooms, but yeah, pretty often.
3 times a week for 2 years?
No, it's probably been like 3 times a week for like the last like 8 months, but then pretty like regularly for like the past like couple years.
And then again, just like with our last caller, Dan, it's not that surprising just listening to his cadence and rhythm. And
shrooms, that's a tall order to do all the time.
Yep.
That takes a little work.
And like LSD, we expect to see some real serious brain injuries.
Well, we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Yeah. Do you still see trailers?
Oh, no, not at all.
No trailers, good.
Okay. Now, when you take the shrooms, do you get off on them? Do you see things? Do you hallucinate?
No, mostly, I don't really believe in, like, the whole, like, I don't really hallucinate as much as, like, I think it's more of just, like, body sensations.
All right. Well, listen, believe in the hallucination. If you take enough of them, you'll hallucinate.
Yeah, by the way, Dan, it's not about believing or not believing. It's a biological event in your brain.
10 million stoners can't be wrong. I mean, you think we're all just making this up?
We can induce it.
I've hallucinated from mushrooms.
I understand, but it's from specific...
I'm high right now.
No doubt.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just saying it's a specific brain activation that causes hallucinations. And part of that... When you do that to brain tissue, it does something called excitotoxicity, where the sort of excessive amounts of the brain chemical being released, and those chemicals become free radicals and destroy the brain tissue.
Okay. Well, let me just do my stupid math here for you guys real quick. If you're super, and we never talk about this in society, we don't think in terms of dumb and stupid, but here's the deal. If you're a super intelligent guy, I mean, if you're smoking... crack whip smart, you can do some drugs and it just knocks you down to a little above average. It dulls you a little bit. You're like a samurai sword that is so sharp it can take being ground on a rock a little bit. It's still a dangerous weapon. But what we have is we got guys with a spatula that have one sharp edge on it.
Right.
And when they start grinding that thing on the rock of drugs,
over.
Now they're left with nothing. Now they've gone from quasi-retarded, not too quick, to semi-retarded or fully retarded and unemployable.
I like your theory, except to, there's a missing piece in it, which is that it doesn't affect intellect as much as emotional functioning. It sort of makes a Swiss cheese-like effect on the brain's functions.
When a guy's been doing a lot of shrooms, a lot of LSD, and a lot of weed, and you talk to the guy 10 years after he started or 5 years after, you know it.
Yeah,
and
right.
so does the guy who's looking at his application at the bank.
That's right.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jimmy Kimmel's just entered the studio. The great Jimmy Kimmel.
Thank you. So happy to be here. So happy to meet you guys. I love the show. I listen to it every night.
I'll tell you, and don't take this the wrong way, you look better in person than you do on TV.
He does, doesn't he?
Theater. I think it adds a couple of pounds or
Thank
something.
You. By the way, did you see that thing I got from that guy today where I'd work? I got some photographs of a guy who looks exactly like me.
But
everyone, he's exactly like me, and he's amazed at how many people come up to him and think that he's me.
Wow.
And he's about at least 50 pounds heavier than I am. And it's humiliating. It is.
Whenever somebody looks like you, it's always a bad
it's
thing.
It's never a step up.
It's never a step up. Or if it is a step up, people qualify it. They go, this is the handsome Adam Carolla.
That's right.
They don't realize that's insulting.
But he's like you if you look handsome, like a better looking
Jimmy
person.
Would always do that with Pete Sampras.
Oh,
Adam,
right.
you're like he's like the handsome version of you.
Adam's like a less attractive version of Pete Sampras. Although I think you've now passed him because he's gone bald and he looks weird now. He looks like his hair is falling out in patches.
Really?
It always amazes me where guys who make, you know, $60 million a year have hairs fall out in handfuls and never do anything about it.
Why should they?
Because you just because we're talking about him right now. Now I'm better looking than he is.
But
you
his wife,
I'm overtaking
is,
him.
His wife
I love
is spectacular.
His wife, but
his
I could have her now.
Who is she?
Because I'm better.
Bridget, what's her name? Bridget Hall is her name.
Bridget Hall. Yeah,
she's absolutely spectacular.
She was in.
She's like the only thing. The reason to watch tennis really is because they might go to a shot of her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when Jason Sehorn plays. Once in a while, they cut up the Angie Harmon up in the stands, and you can, if you're quick, you can squeeze one off. It's only a matter of seconds, and you'll have to get started. But if you time it just right, it's spectacular.
When do we go on? Oh, we're on? Oh.
Windy City Heat is the name of the show.
Yeah, Adam talks about masturbation.
It's a movie,
as much on the air as off the air.
I'd say he talks a little bit more about it off the air.
Does
I have
he?
A horrible story about Adam that I learned that I don't think you know about that I'll share a little later in the show.
Oh, no, that's cruel.
It's called a tease.
Horrible.
It's called a tease.
It's for your ratings, Drew. I'm doing it for you.
Speaking of ratings, Ben Stein tomorrow night. I don't know if you've met. Have you met? Great guy.
Oh, Ben's here tomorrow night?
Jewish gentleman.
Ben's on our show tomorrow night.
Oh.
Well, then he'll be late for this show.
That's
tomorrow night. Him and Bobcat are going to be here. That's,
we really have to merge. We have to merge the shows.
Or at least just dig a tunnel between here and JKL. See, also, Marilyn Manson Wednesday night, and Sarah Silverman, not sure if you guys met, coming in Thursday night.
Well, we have, yeah. Well, that's something. That'll be good times.
So let's talk about Windy City Heat.
Windy City Heat is a movie. It's on Comedy Central this Sunday night at 9 o'clock. It is there's a man named Perry that we've been screwing with for 11 years. These guys, Don Barris and Tony Barbieri, have been screwing with him. And they've made tapes of all sorts with the guy, and there's some hilarious stuff. And we decided to make a movie out of it. Now, Perry thinks he's the star of a major motion picture called Windy City Heat. He plays Stone Fury, a sports private investigator. and he gets the girls, and he gets to fight the bad guys. But what he doesn't realize is the whole movie is the behind the scenes of the movie. It is like the Truman Show, if the Truman Show was filled with pranks. In other words, there's one guy that the whole world is watching. There are at least 100 people involved the production of this. Perry's the only one that doesn't know what's going on.
It's the Truman Show if Jim Carrey was actually Truman, the character, and had no idea what was going on.
Is it like Joe Schmo?
It's not exactly like that. It's much deeper than that.
It's more layered. That's a bagel.
The way Adam this is a less good looking version of Pete Sampras.
It's even more dramatic than that.
It's like a bagel.
I was going to say it's like a bagel, and this is a croissant.
Ah, I see.
But you just kept rolling right along.
Keep talking.
So, all right, where are we?
Watch it anyway. It's funny. It's really funny. It's a cult classic. We already have some very famous people that are big fans of it. Eminem is a very big fan of the movie. He's watched it a million times. Robin Williams. Pete Sampras loves the movie. He and Bridget Hall.
Fred Savage. Huge fan of it.
Who's vowed to destroy me and claims the two of you were booed off the stage at Stanford University.
Like four years ago. It's funny. I was just talking to Drew about this before the show, which is like I've gotten many bad reviews over the years. And unfortunately, Drew, like almost like Hitler's dog, gets lumped in with a lot of this bad stuff. Like Drew's just sitting around trying to keep the kids off the heroin, but when they bring me up, they'll take a few jabs at him too, just because we sit in the same room every night.
Right.
I remember Smugly Preening.
Smugly Preening. That's right. During one of the interviews, it started off as a bad interview for the Man Show or bad review for the Man Show, and just turned into a quick knee in the groin for Drew too, which is funny.
Nice.
But yes, it's Fred Savage, who obviously has a bone to pick with Jimmy Kimmel, has now attacked me as well.
Where did that come from?
He doesn't like Ben Stein either. He can't. And Ben was on the show with him on the Wonder Years. Apparently, I made a joke about him on Letterman, which was a very mild joke. I barely even remember saying it, and he's never forgiven. He remembers every word of it, which is the sign that it really traumatized somebody when they recount it in I was like, I don't think so. I don't think he's like, oh yes, and he goes into the details.
Would he accept an apology from you?
I tried to apologize. He wanted nothing of it, but I was snickering the whole time. Yeah, I think he was about 70% serious and 30% kidding.
This is at the Playboy Mansion,
but he's vowed to destroy me.
And he's probably one of these guys, by the way, that's like a fifth degree black belt in Taekwondo or something. Little guys always get into that, but it's always kind of cute when you find out that Webster is a sixth degree in Shotokai or something. You're like, all right.
Imagine how humiliating I get my ass kicked by Kevin from Wonder Years.
it would be good.
Yeah,
though.
It would be good.
It'd
for
be a
you.
Good story. Michael?
Uh-huh.
You're 25?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of y'all's show. Adam, you're awesome. Drew, you're good, too.
Hey, hang on a second, Michael. What time is the show on Sunday night? October 12th.
9 o'clock.
Windy City Heat.
It's a movie, not a show.
It's a movie.
Is it just one airing? Is it going to have a repeat performance?
It will repeat as Comedy Central is known to do, but I'm not sure when exactly.
You don't want to count on that. You want to catch it out of the gate.
Well, everyone will be talking about it.
That's right. Michael?
I can't never really get my wife past the tip of the finger as far as anally set.
What century are you calling from, Michael? Do they have phones in your century?
I think
we have a math problem here. He's calling from the 1700s.
This is the guy from The Simpsons, I think.
Yeah, the guy with all the kids. Hey, Cletus, what's up? So you can't never give your wife what?
Well, she can't really get past the tip of the finger anally. I mean, some women, they can get pounded. You know, how do you get past that?
What Michael is not saying is that he's leading with the elbow. So it's a real tall order to get past that second knuckle.
That's what we call the hard way.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to bring you up to my knuckle, but I'm going with the elbow.
He's got that gentleman's twang. He's undoubtedly a cotillion boy.
Yeah. Hey, maybe that's just her.
Does she want to?
Oh yeah, she wants to, but I guess I'm not hung like a small pony or anything, but she just can't get past the the size of her back there.
There's a mason jar joke in this.
Yeah, Michael, you're not real, are you?
No, I'm serious. My wife.
What's her name?
Her name's Linda.
Linda. All right. You're calling from Georgia?
Uh-huh.
What part of Georgia?
Canton.
What station do you listen to us on?
96 Rock.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Well, those are questions that he could answer. Because you know, right. You know what I did when I had this problem with my lover, mm-hmm. Adam?
No, what you need to do shave is him first. You can find his anus.
Remember my penis hole almost closed up?
Oh yeah,
yes, I was there.
Yes, you were. Well, you were more than just there. You were there.
We all remember where we were. It's like Kennedy being shot.
Well, what they did was they put a series of rods graduating in size to enlarge the opening.
Right. So spikes, though, I believe in your case.
Yeah. So what you got to do is start small and then mm-hmm. stretch until she looks like a tent.
Right. And they have little devices, I guess, you can get. But it doesn't sound like somebody who would enjoy this. I don't think she really wants it as much as Michael suspects.
But they have, like, those Lucite sort of graduated in size.
Yes,
anal,
Drew has those.
Anal.
In his trunk.
They're sort of shape of a bishop or something that just keeps getting bigger.
I've not seen the kit.
They have them for the vagina, though,
they have
yes?
them to make vaginas kind of thing, you mm-hmm. know, when they're trying to make a vagina.
Right.
When the male, female...
They look like right. little plastic Christmas trees.
I tried that, too, with the thing in the vagina, but the ground beef wouldn't hold its shape, I found.
You try. Yeah. Switch back to cantaloupes.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Trey.
Who cares? Some problem.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk. Wait a minute. I got a plan. Michael.
Uh-huh.
I got something that's about the right size. The cork from your jug. Should be about the right size to get started
like
with, all right? And then your harmonica case.
Okay.
Slide it in there with the banjo pick.
And then the banjo pick.
Okay.
All right, buddy. All right.
Thanks, man.
All right. Good times.
I don't think that was real.
I don't think it was real either, but he was definitely calling from Georgia.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk to Trey, who's...
You pushed on Michael.
Oh, wait. Did I screw that up? Trey online too.
On Michael,
I like watching Adam operate a computer. It's like watching monkeys pick different symbols.
Oh.
You know,
all right, I chung that up.
When they have the monkey,
oh my god,
which one's
no,
the apple?
All right,
hey, what's
Trey?
How you guys
24,
doing?
What's up? Good.
Good. I've got a question about you guys talked to Rachel just a little bit ago about masturbation, right? I sometimes would rather masturbate to a good-looking chick in a magazine or maybe even a movie or whatever, rather than have sex with my beautiful girlfriend. And our relationship's really good.
How often do you have that desire?
Have what?
How often do you do that?
Probably once a day.
And how how often do you have sex with her?
How often do I have sex with her?
Yeah.
Well, she's down at college right now, but when she's here, every day.
And then you also masturbating when she's here?
Yeah.
So you just double down.
Yeah.
All right.
I just like to get off. Is that, you know, am I wrong? Is that bad or what?
Does it affect your performance or anything or your relationship?
That was my second question, is that sometimes I premature ejaculate.
If anything, this would be better for that. Cleaning
the pipes.
That's
what I was thinking, but it doesn't. It's kind of like a release. I'd like to masturbate before, and then I last a little bit longer, but it's kind of embarrassing. Yeah. You know, I want to get into the moment with her, and I want to make her... orgasm also, but...
Well, she may not be able to.
It's only one solution. Go for three.
Yeah. How about that? You risk the calf cramp, but I think it's well worth it.
Triple down.
She can orgasm. It just takes, you know how women are. It takes them a little bit longer sometimes, but...
No, I don't.
She can. If I could hold out for another 5 minutes...
Do you wear a condom?
Sometimes.
Well, you should just wear it. That'll slow things down, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
You rub a little coke on your dork like Drew.
I've also tried a...
Dumps it up.
Kind of a, you know...
Sometimes you have to bang it around to get it started just a little bit.
You know, it's wonderful for the penis Aura gel.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Wonderful, really.
Numbs it up. Mm. You won't even know you have one.
There are these numbing agents now that...
But don't they numb her, too?
I imagine. And they have shown some effect, though, on the man, so...
All right, so...
I guess you could put it on under the condom.
Trey's fine. And if he wants to beat off before, do it.
Good times.
Don't do that thing where you include her. That's what all those... All those sex therapists are in their 50s, and it's really gross when they're talking about sex.
Yeah.
And they're like, include your partner.
No.
Have your partner come. No. You go in the bathroom and beat off with dignity and the door closed and the water running, and then you come in and have sex.
Right.
Don't try to include her. I always hate all that. Have her help you put the condom on. Make it into something. It's always weird, isn't it?
Well, it's just because of what they look like.
It's mostly. Also,
maybe that's it.
That's how women think, too. they think men would like that.
Yeah, we don't need that.
No.
There are no male sex therapists, really, are there?
They're not around, are they?
Once in a while, we had that guy on the show who claimed you could have like a two-hour orgasm.
It was BS.
But yeah, the one-hour orgasm is like the squirrel that water skis up next on the news. Like you think. So the guy says you can have a one-hour orgasm, and you think, oh my God, the room is going to be filled with semen. I mean, this is huge. Like you're going to open the door and you're going to go down the stairs with the sofas behind you. You spill out onto the street. It's like you're at Knott's Berry Farm or something. But you think, and it's the same thing. Like when they go next up, a squirrel that water skis, and you go, wow, how does a squirrel water ski? And then they show it, and it's a squirrel that's been stapled to a piece of plywood.
Exactly.
The pull rope is attached to the piece of plywood. The squirrel ain't holding it, and then the boat is dragging around this thing. The squirrel's too scared to jump off.
The squirrel's more hostage than water skier.
It's stapled in it.
And when it stops, it still floats. It just sits there. It doesn't fall into the water or anything. It doesn't need the speed of the boat. That's how life is. Right. It's like when you're a kid, and it's like 8 foot high, giant remote control robot, $8. Does your bidding for you.
Yes. Like, the hovercraft, you can build yourself.
Standing over your teacher going, Jimmy does not want to do homework. Mark this week.
Do you remember those giant ghosts that you could buy through the comic book? I ordered that. You know what it is?
String and a balloon.
It's a balloon with a ghost printed on it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's and you know, that's when you realize there's no justice and life isn't fair.
No, nothing's
your parents
for free.
Try to teach you, but it's when you scrape together $3.95 and you're 8 years old and you order some piece of crap like those x-ray specs, which you should be illegal, I believe. Should be the district attorney of every state should look into that because you cannot see through clothes. You can't even, it's not even near being able to see through clothes.
Well, here's the better part. If they're legal, if they work, they should be illegal. Do you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
Like, you're walking down the street looking at a bunch of women in their bra and panties? There should be a law against that. So, if they don't work, they should be illegal because they're false claims being made. And if they do work, they should be illegal because they work. All right, but yes, all that stuff in life you quickly realize does not work at all. And how did this
I don't know, but
you need to
start masturbating a third time, all. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yes.
All right. And they do have that stuff at the store that numbs you up a little bit, so I hear.
I have to believe it numbs the woman up, too, though.
But put it under a condom?
Ooh,
maybe so.
Nice. And plus, you get that little psychological advantage to rubbing something on there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Some guys, though, that might
finish them off.
That's right.
I think I'll just put a little more on her. Yeah, just like that. Amber?
Hi, you guys.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
I know Dr. Drew has a lot of experience with addiction, and I am taking Vicodin. And I had it for a valid reason. I broke 2 toes at work. And I had to take it at work because I have to be on my feet. I'm a bartender, and I have to be on my feet all the time. So I totally had a legitimate reason to be taking it.
All of my patients start with a legitimate reason.
And then I realized, believe me, Dr. Drew, there is addiction all around me. And I'm the only survivor of my whole family that hasn't had a problem with alcohol.
Well, but now it sounds like you're getting
going. How'd you break your toes at work?
My other bartender dropped a friggin' keg on my toes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
I know. It was really bad.
I know. And it's always horrible to do stuff to chicks or gays because they cry and they squeal and you're standing over them. Like,
Adam, I was so good. I was tearing and I wasn't crying.
I know, but guys feel horrible.
Oh, well, no, how about the fact that she's still working?
That is pretty good.
Most people will go for that workers' comp, and then that's the end of it.
All right, you're a hero, Amber. Why didn't you just tell your work you need a month off? You're hobbled.
No, they knew. I was limping around, but my bar's not too long, so I could, you know, just kind of...
That doesn't answer the question.
Why didn't you...
You had a coworker injure you at the job. Why didn't you take a month off?
If I was to go on disability or workers' comp, I mean, I make $300 a night in tips, and if I was to go on... You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just would have been... There's no way.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, the doctor gave me Vicodin. I was taking it every shift. I was totally following doctor's orders, just taking one per shift. It was getting me through my night, and I was realizing, wow, you know, this stuff like kind of gives me like a rush. Like I'm like on the gas. Like I can go, you know, like way more so than if I'm like not.
Yeah.
And so I was realizing, oh my God, I'm making so much more money. I'm like, my guests are like loving me even more. I mean, they love me anyway, but you know, I can talk. I can pour 3 drinks and have a conversation with 2 people at the same time.
The restaurant trains you to look at the boozers as guests,
yes,
or to refer to the lushes who come in and hit on you.
I work at a very high-end restaurant. We can't say
the
C word.
Okay.
So, Luckies.
All right,
I was realizing that, and then I stopped taking it because my toes were healed, and I stopped taking it, and I was going, oh my God, I seriously like can't function. Like I went to work one night and I was totally screwing everything up.
All right, are you high now?
Yeah.
I took
a little bit.
One
yeah.
This morning, mm-hmm. you guys. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what made me realize that I might have a problem is I went to the crooked doctor because mm-hmm. my doctor cut me off. So I went to the crooked doctor.
Yeah, you're on your way, Amber. This is how it starts.
Okay, Dr. Drew? You mean Dr. Drew?
What would be so wrong with, I mean, I make more money. I don't
Amber.
Get out of it.
Amber.
I'm with Amber. You probably put out, too.
I'm not a stupid person, you guys. I went through college. I mean, I'm not
Amber.
Dumb.
Amber, it changes the chemistry of your brain permanently.
You'll go deaf.
It will progress, and it will have very dire consequences.
Yeah.
You will have trouble stopping even now.
You
and
can't
possibly not be able to stop.
Drew tells me that he's had patients that have been on 100 Vicodin a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm
really?
Always amazed mm-hmm. with people. I'm amazed at when guys like I would drink a case of beer a day and stuff. Like how do you physically
how can you
have
get,
time
how can
to
you
do
even
that?
Get 100
off,
Vicodin.
They get them off the internet. They get it from multiple doctors. They, you know, they have one every day.
And what do they eat them like you eat Raisin Bran in the morning?
I guess,
just milk
yeah.
and you're just chomping down the Vicodin.
Well, every hour and a half, they're going for like five or so. And
wow!
And like, most of my Vicodin addicts are 30 to 50 a day.
You realize now she doesn't think she has a problem.
I know because we're talking about this
a day.
But
yeah,
those are the more progressed cases. And the guy that I had was taking 100 a day went stone cold deaf all of a sudden, kind of like Rush. But interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's going on with him. But
did the guy's hearing
I've
come
heard,
back?
I've no, heard people
gone.
Say that too.
They have to get cochlear implants.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they get what he got?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Doesn't mean it's what he is or had, but it's, you know,
sort of helping connect some of the dots, though.
Suspicious.
All right.
So what should she do then, Drew?
She's got to stop, and probably you're going to have to consult with someone, Amber, because you really sort of flipped the switch
why
a little bit on this
consult
disease.
Consult with the real doctor who cut her off. That might
that's not a bad idea. A guy who has identified a problem here would maybe be in a position to refer you, Amber.
And also, you being a bartender, you're going to need to talk to somebody, and you can't talk to another bartender because you're a bartender. You have to talk to a hairstylist. These are the two people in society you need to talk to.
Adam,
what's that?
I know that you, Adam, enjoy a couple drinks once in a while. I don't drink. I don't
once
do
in
drugs.
A while, I had like 17 on Saturday.
Amber, you do drugs.
Amber, you're doing opiates.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing opiates now.
Yeah.
And it's and
I don't abuse them. I only take one or two.
Yeah. Well, then why are you calling?
Why are you calling?
Because I'm realizing that it might be, when I don't take it, I feel weird. So
Amber,
okay.
It is, and let me be clear to you, it is a problem. It is.
All right. And listen, let's not drug my...
She knows it is.
Let's not drag my addiction into this conversation. I have a couple glasses of red wine. You know,
Adam,
when I come home, I unwind.
Oh,
so.
I got to tell the terrible thing, but I'll wait. We'll take a commercial break, and then I'll tell.
Sure.
He got wasted. Are we at the Playboy Mansion with him?
Yeah, I was.
He got wasted, then he came home and had his red wine.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't blame
That's
him.
Commitment. Mm-hmm. That's commitment. I think Jimmy got... I'm in the wine of the month club,
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
a nice couple bottles of red wine waiting for me when I get home.
You put him in then?
Yeah.
It's nice.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
No, for most people, but for people like him, it's...
What do you mean, people like him?
No, he likes to screw with me. I mean,
take a little Vicodin tonight, take some codeine, smoke a little heroin.
Okay, Drew. See?
Adam doesn't drink that much.
No, I can, and I can maintain.
See?
That's my whole thing.
His point is not that he drinks that much, he maintains.
Yeah. Yes, I'm a pro.
Yeah, didn't say he doesn't drink that much, just maintains.
I know
what
for
he
a
does
fact I'm
night.
Funnier, I drive better, and I'm certainly better looking with a couple
you
glasses of wine in me. That's
together,
all.
You're thinking just the same
you
way.
You drive better.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Jimmy Kimmel here tonight from Jimmy Kimmel Live.
When we come back, I'll tell something terrible that Adam did.
Yeah, it's horrible and humiliating.
It is.
12:05, everybody, Monday through Friday, the show. Bobcat Goldthwait guest hosting this week. And Windy City Heat coming out this Sunday, the 12th at 9 o'clock. Great movie. Got to see it. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jimmy Kimmel in studio tonight. Tomorrow night, Ben Stein, Marilyn Manson on Wednesday night, and Sarah Silverman on Thursday night. Windy City Heat is the name of the movie, and it's on Comedy Central. It's a made-for-television or made-for-Comedy Central movie that really could have stood for a theatrical release.
Yeah.
This is it's just a great movie. I saw one of the screenings of it about a month ago, and it just laughed my ass off.
It is very funny. The whole movie's a prank on one guy named Perry, and the things that he believes. People think, oh, this can't possibly be real, but if you really watch it, you know that it's absolutely real and that he absolutely believes everything that he's being told.
Speaking of terrible things.
Sunday nights, by the way.
Yes.
Sunday nights.
Oh, yes.
9 o'clock.
So I learned something about my friend Adam Carolla. I thought I knew everything about Adam, especially the disgusting things.
Gemini, as it turns out. Did
oh,
not
really?
Know that.
No.
Yes, but something... Well, his friend Ray revealed this to me. And,
Ray claims to have lots of stuff on Adam that we would never imagine.
Adam, I think you could imagine.
That's what I said. That's what I said.
What, I killed the man and then blow him?
Apparently has moved his bowels in the shower and pushed it down the shower drain hole with his heel.
Mm-hmm.
Hacked it down in there.
Heel and toe, like a good race car driver works a clutch. Yeah.
Yeah. No surprise.
No surprise.
Did Ray mention what he did to Adam?
I don't know. There are many things. I don't know.
Ray borrowed a sock cap from Adam, and when Ray gave it back to him.
A what?
One of those cap, you know, like
my
a cap.
My beloved Rams beanie.
Right. When it was time to give it back, Adam asked for it, and Ray said, here, have it back. And he filled it with Duke, his own.
Right.
And gave it back to him.
He handed it to me like it was a mother handing a lunch sack to the young son. It's great. Jeez, what is this weight at the bottom of my... What could it be? Let me think.
How did it happen? Did you have your tails surgically cut off, or did they just wear off from pants?
I don't know why I took a crap in the shower, to be honest with you. But
that one's hard to figure.
Well,
he used as a toilet. You understand? He lived in a garage.
That is true.
And his
I crapped in a decorative popcorn can for many a month that my cousin gave me. By the way, no greater gift for an 18-year-old than a decorative tin of assorted popcorn.
5 gallons of cheap popcorn.
Oh, it's great. But caramel corn one is done in 10 minutes, and then you slowly peck away at the cheddar cheese one for the rest of the month.
It was not like a cat box where you clean it out regularly. He accumulated
a little bit. Well, you can't just, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, shower.
I think that's what my Uncle Vince had in mind when he gave me. It was unspoken but understood when he handed it to me.
So the shower.
Empty it, then fill it.
That's right. All right. Here's why I crapped in the shower is because...
Your feet away from the toilet. I mean, you're not going to, you know...
I had to take a dump, and I realized I don't want to take a dump with my fresh shower body and have the, you know, dingleberries down there. I don't want to get out, you know... And by the way, a lot of accidents happen in the bathroom. Drew, back me up on this.
Trying to crap in the shower or for going from the shower to the toilet?
No, getting cocky and tempting fate by getting out of the shower to Duke and then climbing back into the shower. It's very dangerous terrain to negotiate.
Turn the water off or not.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Yeah, it's tough.
Many of my own family members went that way, and I'm not going to make the same mistake.
And so you've always been a man for efficiency, and so,
I'm sure it was a rental. And I'm standing behind my decision. Pardon.
And it happened more than once, though, did it not?
More than once, but way less than 500 times. Way less. Way less than 500.
But Adam has regaled us, Jimmy, with the story of the bathtub and you and he.
Drew beating off. I mean, Jimmy beating off.
Well, that was done intentionally to punish. It wasn't just done.
Think about, by the way, though, like and I know you think about this, when you think about like Schwarzenegger running for office, and it was like there was a Polaroid of a partially nude woman that was put on the ceiling of a makeup trailer, and he used to look at it while he was getting his makeup on. Think how that sounds next to beating off in a half full tub or slinging some Duke at your buddy.
Laughing time is over.
Taking a magic marker and drawing a huge penis on him when he's drunk and passed out. I mean, think about how bad.
I did, in fairness, I did it to my younger brother, and he was sleeping, not drunk.
Yeah, but understand, you guys are high up the hierarchy of ABC. This is why we have this guy running for governor.
I guess we're not.
And we can accept this without any trouble.
Hold political office.
I know.
No, that could be the next day.
You know, my only problem is getting myself into trouble through not reacting enough to horrible things that other people have done. I remember when my friend's mom said, I was driving in my car on my way home from work. She was very disturbed. This just happened today. I looked to my right, We were at a stop sign. A man was masturbating in his car. I was exposed to it. I don't know what kind of maniac. And I'm thinking, she's up beat off in the car 100 times. I drove a stick and I beat off on Rambla Pacifica in Malibu, for Christ's sake. I could have died. They would have found me there.
But you won't get out of the shower.
That's what. That's why I should have a cologne named after me. You understand? I'm a riddle.
Enigma.
Enigma. That's what it should be called. This cologne is fashioned after a man who will mash his own feces down with his heel, yet beats off in his Nissan mini truck on Rambla Pacifica. Enigma. Are you that kind of guy? Well, then Enigma's for you. Or maybe you just want to be that kind of guy. Yeah, that guy. For every guy who is that guy, and for every future one of those guys. Enigma. I like that.
I like it, too.
Oh, my.
Mary?
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yeah.
What's up?
You smell like Enigma.
Yeah. You ever crap in the shower?
No, not recently.
Really? Okay.
Well,
that's what your shirt works too, didn't it?
Well, la-di-da, your highness.
This is the way.
We're all impressed.
That's how your show works?
This is the kind of something like about? It. Yeah. Only without all the fun.
What's up there, Mary?
Well, for the past couple weeks or so, me and my girlfriend, like, we've been having sex, and it just stopped. I can't orgasm.
Is a new girlfriend?
No. No, we've been together 2.5 years.
Ooh, interesting. Are you interested in sex at all with her?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah? She goes down on you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a vibrator?
No.
You don't? No strap-on?
No. We haven't tried that. She's not really into that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Are you okay, Adam? You all right?
And it just seems to sort of...
Yeah, it seems like you'd get to that.
Take the wind out of the lesbian sail for me.
Just like with the males, the oral sex is the main thing, I think.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Well,
Adam was upset to find out that most gay men don't engage in anal sex.
Yeah, I found that out a couple years ago also.
And I was really worried that it sort of hurt comedy a little bit to find out there was no real cornholing going on.
No, it goes on.
It's not
as pervasive as you might have thought.
It's not of as much of it as we'd like.
Yeah. Right, that's what we're saying. We'd like to see him step it up a little.
Mary, you want any medication?
No, I'm not.
Anything else going on that might be affecting you physically?
No, I mean, it's really stressing me out.
Is your vagina tired?
Is the relationship okay?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
So is it that you're not into her, or that you've just sort of, you're a woman, you're in a long-term relationship? Drew always says that a lot of these lesbian relationships just sort of settle into this semi-platonic cuddling relationship, this partnership.
They stop having sex.
Sort of like what happens with a lot of women in long-term marriages with men. Could this be happening?
I'm very physically and emotionally attracted to her.
And so is the orgasm important to you? Are you not going to have sex with her if you don't feel you can orgasm?
We've been trying. I mean, this happened 2 weeks ago or so. And it really just scared me because this never happened to me before.
You're usually pretty easy to orgasm?
Oh, yeah.
And now all of a sudden you can't.
Yeah, it's like a light switch. It's just I get close to, you know, the orgasm and it just, like, turns off.
Have you had a medical evaluation? Are you sure you're not named any?
Not recently, no.
No medication, no vitamins, no nothing. Birth control pills.
No.
Nothing.
Drew. What she need birth control
for regulating her period or endometriosis or something? I mean, she might be on something and not be thinking of it as...
Maybe she just likes the taste.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Mary?
She's lesbian. Yeah. She still has periods,
well,
right?
Try a vibrator. Why don't you guys try out a vibrator?
Well, I mean, she's a little bit older than I am, and she's...
How
really
old is she?
Conservative. She's 30.
So what? She's 30?
Conservative.
Yeah.
30 old. How conservative can she be when she's down with her face in between your legs there in the sheets?
Yeah.
I
she's
don't
in
know.
NRA. She's very uptight.
I
real
think
Nancy
she is.
Reagan type.
I think so.
All right. So listen,
I think she would be okay with something.
I just see her with wearing like a Jackie Kennedy pill hat and some pearl beads going down on her. All right.
So I think the effects of her working with 60-plus age women for so long really kind of got to her.
What'd she do?
She works in an office.
With old women?
Yeah.
Why do I feel like we're going bogus all of a sudden?
Yeah, I don't know what that... I'm not sure how germane that information is either. All right, just look. Here's the thing, too, everybody. Sometimes you can get in a little sexual slump. Can you not, Drew?
Yeah, yeah.
There's not always a problem. You just need to push through it.
Yeah.
Here's what you should do. Next time you guys are, engaged. Whatever you call it.
Engaged.
Smack her right across the face and say, try harder.
Yeah.
And then see what happens.
Put some pressure on her. Or let some wind go. Women don't do that enough. I ate chili over at Jimmy's house yesterday and was blowing tremendous gas.
I've been just crazy. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I was blowing the gas later that night.
Yeah. It took like a good 12 hours for it to catch up to me.
Yeah, it did kick in.
Too?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, boy.
And everyone, too. Everyone at
yeah,
the
good,
show.
Yeah, good food. I mean, gas takes, like we're talking about.
It's a percolate.
We're talking about how food poisoning takes about 12 hours to kick in.
Good, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Good gas after something you ate, 6 to 12.
That's the cure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So try that.
Yeah. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Glad we could help. Jimmy Kimmel here tonight from Jimmy Kimmel Live. ABC. 1205, Monday through Friday. You know about that. Also, Windy City Heat. This is a great movie. It is coming out Sunday, the 12th of October, this Sunday. It's at 9 o'clock. It's on Comedy Central. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Ben Stein in here tomorrow night. And then Marilyn Manson in here Wednesday night. And the gorgeous Sarah Silverman in here Thursday night. Jimmy Kimmel in here tonight talking about Windy City Heat, which is a great movie that we produced. And Bobcat Goldthwait directed it and also played the director in the movie. It's a true story. It's
the first really prank movie, and the whole movie is one prank. It's a 2-hour prank on one guy.
Yes, one guy. There's one person involved with this movie that thinks he is shooting a movie, and everyone else thinks they're shooting the prank, and everyone else would be right, by the way.
Yes.
And it's weird. It was weird to try to pull it off because obviously the players in the movie know what's going on, but the crew, everyone from the grips to the sound guys, everybody, wardrobe, everybody was in on it.
Everyone had to sign confidentiality agreements.
Wow.
And, it's really good.
Yeah, it's a really, really good movie. And it's on Sunday night, 9 o'clock, Comedy Central. All right. Let's talk to Tyler, who did a female-to-male transgender operation. Tyler?
Yes?
You're 23?
Yep.
You're calling from Tijuana?
Yep.
And,
Hey!
Where do you hear us through 91X?
Yep.
And
I listen to that station all the time.
Have you gone through the female to male transgender operation?
No, that's what I'm scared to death about because I've heard a lot of scary things. I've done my homework.
Yeah.
And I heard that they install a hand pump into the palm of your hand to get an erection.
Yeah. She's done her homework.
Yeah. Listen, sweetie, it's difficult, it's scary, but we all go through it. You just have to sort of grit your teeth, all right? I remember, Drew, you can think back.
Remember you were
remember
a little
when
girl?
When
I had my penis put on?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was tough. And they make the penis out of your arm.
Well, the worst thing is, Drew was on the swim team. Drew was on the swim team, and it actually acted as a rudder and destroyed his swimming career. He was actually going to be on the U.S. Women's Olympic team.
Oh. That's right. Luckily, gay porn was waiting. Tyler?
Yes?
We had a doctor in here about 2 weeks ago named Dr. Alter, believe it or not.
No way.
Yes. And you wanted to think this guy was the world's biggest quack, but wow. He was one of the five guys in the United States who was a plastic surgeon and was a urologist. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
And he did this gender reassignment. And I like the term, by the way, gender reassignment. Talk about that.
So you are now a male, a here's boy, a and you want a female, a male, and you want to be a female.
No.
The arm.
Well, you better make sure they have it straight.
No, wait. You guys have it all wrong.
That's really good. Yeah.
I'm a female. I was born a female. I want to be a male.
But your name's Tyler? Is that your name you were born with, Tyler?
No, that's the name I've given myself.
Oh, okay. And what was your real name?
Teresa.
Teresa.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at these, and I don't think you want one because they're like a penis with no personality. They look like an alien penis.
Yes. It's really...
I know that they're really small. Like, they're probably 4 inches erect.
That's not small.
Erect. They can get erect?
There it is.
How did they get erect?
They put pumps and stuff in them.
Like I was saying earlier, I was reading that they install a hand pump in your in the palm of your hand, and you squeeze your hand to get an erection.
Yeah. Well, there's many different ways you can do it. Here's I'm gonna put our.
It's like those Reeboks.
There's a couple of things.
Oh, I can't even look at it.
It's hard to look at. Like. Wouldn't you rather just look at shark attack victims?
I would much rather look at shark attack victims. At least it was an accident.
Here's what I think about turning a vagina into the world's ugliest penis. It's like you have a Ferrari and you want to turn it into like a riding mower. And it's like, yeah, but it's not only do you have a beautiful car, but it's not going to make a very good riding mower.
Right.
Like, even if it made a perfect riding mower, you would still be turning a Ferrari into a riding mower. But the second part is it's going to be one that's effed up. It's not going to run right. It's not going to look good. It's going to be a disaster. It's just a disaster. And you know, the whole idea that you have to undergo psychiatric treatment for 1 year before you're labeled sane enough to have your penis lopped off or to have skin grafts from your arm and your clitoris injected with steroids and grow a penis that basically looks like a hot dog that got left on the barbecue at a bad 4th of July party. This you're sane
for? It's the very definition of crazy.
It's more like when somebody says, listen, I shot my old lady to collect on the insurance. You say, well, I disagree with that, but still not as crazy as the guy wants his penis cut off, right?
Not even close.
Well, you make the point about the arm.
Oh, I got Dr. Alter with this one. He's like, their whole argument is yeah, but these are women trapped inside a man's body. Like, you're going to go, oh, I didn't know there's a woman in there. I thought it was just a regular dude who was crazy. But you say there's actually a woman trapped inside? Well, we got to get her out. But I said, look. First off, stop using that argument. That just means there's a crazy person trapped inside a man's body. And number two, what if I said my left arm was possessed? I couldn't stop smacking myself in the face with. Would you cut it off? And they're like, of course not. And I'm like, well, that's the same thing.
You what if you went through an entire year and you said, no, yeah, I want to lose that arm?
I'm a three-armed person caught in a three-limbed person caught in a four-limbed
body. I'm an octopus caught in a man's body. Yeah. Now, how much rarer is it, though, that a woman would want to become a man?
It's about 90-10 or 80-20 or something like that. There's not too many of them.
You're only 23 years old?
Yes.
Why are you living in Tijuana, by the way?
Because it's cheap.
That's true, but so is Beirut. You know what I mean? You can get by on just a couple bucks a day in Beirut.
What kind of weird stuff are you involved in?
Nothing.
You a prostitute or anything like that?
Oh, God, no. I go to college in San Diego. I just have to rely on cheap rent.
You cross the border every day to go to college?
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Isn't it? But the line at the border for the hours.
She's
sometimes
crossing over into manhood. The border's not such a big idea.
Wow.
Big deal.
It's only long if you're driving.
Okay, I see. And you walk across on the bridge.
Yes.
Okay, so
he also said that a lot of women don't have complete reconstructions. They just give them all the hormone and they sort of grow their clitoris out.
Yeah, they don't build you a penis. They just give you enough testosterone to turn your clitoris into a penis.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that may have happened to me. Not sure.
Maybe you should do that, right?
But you really think I'm like up in the head?
Oh,
yeah. Now we do.
Can't use the F word, Tyler. As bizarre as that sounds.
No one else thinks you're crazy?
Listen, first off, anybody who's not Mexican who lives in Tijuana is critically insane. And quite a few of the Mexicans that live there, by the way. But at least they have an excuse. They can't escape. You're fleeing to Tijuana. You're choosing to live there. You're passing a whole bunch of people that are dressed as shrubs trying to get across the other direction. You understand? Making that twinkle, twinkle sound when they walk.
San Diego?
What's that?
Do you know how you want to know how much it is to rent in San Diego?
Well, what?
Yeah, I know. It's
do you know how much it is to get your vagina turned into a penis?
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're tens of thousands of dollars.
Do you have a doctor?
Yes.
Is he in Mexico or the United States?
The United States.
Would you have a mastectomy?
That's something to be considered.
You don't know if you want to go through with that?
So you'd have a penis put on, but the breast will remain. Huh, interesting.
I know. That sounds good.
How close to Revolution Street do you live?
About maybe a 15, 20-minute walk.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's what I'd like you to do. Let's forget about your gender reassignment. I'd like you to buy me some M80s and some tile. And when you come out to San Diego, I want you to just keep coming to L.A. and bring them to me, all right?
Why don't you get one of those hats that has a penis on them?
Yeah.
You know those baseball caps that have a penis sticking out?
Yeah. Yeah.
That should be enough for a while.
I mean, here's the whole thing. If you could snap your fingers and become an attractive version of the sex you wanted to be, it would still be insane, but at least I'd listen to your argument.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you could do this, pow, if you could be some chick and go pow and be Hugh Grant, or you could do pow and be some guy and be, I don't know. Who's that? Claudia Schiffer. I would understand that. But you are going to look like someone took...
You're going to look like Lou Grant.
You're going to look like Lou Grant had an M80 blow up in his underpants. That's what you're going to look like. It's going to be a mess. People are going to think you stepped on a bouncing Betty in NAMM or something, and it just blew your groin off. That's what it looks like. You should look at this book, by the way.
Yes.
Go get... What's the name of this book, Drew?
Ehrlich and Alter, Reconstructive and Plastic Surgery of the External Genitalia.
Go terrific. Get that book. It's a great read.
That's Madonna's new children book, isn't it?
Yeah.
Read it in the toilet or in the shower where you crap. Whatever. I don't judge.
Sink where you pee.
And we'll take...
Think about that, Adam. Think about it.
I know. My wife is so... She's had such an ass full of me. You know, the other thing is just I now urinate out the window at night. My wife's starting to complain that it reeks of urine as she's walking up the stairs in the plant. I have a fern that's dying over there. Because I'm watching TV, and I'm... All right. I don't have to justify myself to you or anybody else. Anybody else. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. The time go. That's another show. Ben Stein tomorrow, Marilyn Manson Wednesday night, Sarah Silverman Thursday night. Windy City Heat is the name of the show. I guarantee this is the funniest thing you've seen on TV in your entire life. It is a movie. It is on Comedy Central. It is this Sunday. We produced it. It's a true story. It's really... My dad enjoyed it. What else can I say about this project?
It's shocking. I can't believe it. It's amazing. It speaks volumes.
Said he laughed his ass off. Actually, he said it was solid, and then I told him I really didn't do that much on it, and he said it was hysterical after that.
Yeah, I can't imagine your dad saying, I laughed my ass off.
He loved it. He loved it. Wow. He wanted to send a tape to Ronnie in Philadelphia. I always love parents. Can I send this to Ronnie? Yeah, go ahead. How do you do that? Put it in the mail, old man. Well, so he could watch it? Yes, he got a VCR? You know, everything's confusing. All right, we're out of time. Jimmy Kimmel, God bless you. See you tomorrow morning. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew. Saying mahalo. Mm-hmm. When was your last chicken fight?
My chicken fight?
Yeah.
That's what, girl about. Fighting or something?
Like what fighting?
Yeah, like when you take your tobacco out of your mouth and blind her temporarily, then go upside her head with a cider jug and then strangle her with your rope belt.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.